We've got Dr. Katrin here from the German Veterinary Clinic and Dr. Stephanie from the St. Vincent Group. Good afternoon, doctors.
Hello. Good afternoon.
It's full studio this afternoon. So, Dr. Katrin, what is keeping you busy in the clinic at the moment?
Well, we have just launched our amazing new pet health club.
A health club?
Yep, just this week.
Massages?
Almost.
Spa food?
Almost. No, it's actually an annual membership for pet owners, which they can buy into for the whole household of pets, and they get some amazing special offers, preferential prices on preventative healthcare. So up to 50% on vaccines, lots of discounts on parasite control, food, all that kind of stuff. So we're just launching that and it is taking off.
I bet.
Very, very well, yeah.
I think a lot of people get pets and don't actually think about, to the full extent, what the financial
Absolutely.
Implication is from, as you say, from food to vaccinations to, well, like our spaniel likes, you know, he really likes his teeth cleaned twice a year and that involves general anaesthetic. And then next thing I know, it's like a flight home. You know, it does add up. So anything we can do to save a bit of money on pets is much, much appreciated. Yeah. How are you, Dr. Stephanie?
I'm very well.
How are things at St. Vincent Group?
Very busy.
Yeah.
The summer is over.
Summer's been over for a while now, hon.
I know. Yeah, so we've been doing a lot with our charity partners recently. I was up quite early this morning relocating some dogs at the Dubai airport. So, yeah, it's been quite busy.
So, lots going on. Now, guys, I've got a question for you. I'm going to kick off a little bit this afternoon with one of my own kind of dog dilemmas. And I did do a post on Facebook group about it, but I feel like I need to go to the experts. So where we live, there are, as I said before, lots of guard dogs. So there's a German Shepherd that we see quite a lot. And then some neighbours have got a husky puppy. And these dogs are out roaming the streets constantly. I've seen them on Beach Road. I've seen them, you know, near the petrol station. They're always outside our house because they know we've got dogs. They're always sniffing around and barking at ours and trying to get a reaction out of them. And I don't feel like they're dangerous. I feel like the German Shepherd is very barky. And the Husky is probably only maybe 4 or 5 months old, still quite small. But they're out all the time. No collars, no leads, just you know, running free. So a couple of days ago, they were outside our gate. So I parked up outside and I could hear them barking at our dog. So my husband kind of ushered the German Shepherd to where we think it lives. And I scooped up the Husky and carried him to where we think he lives. And we found, you know, established that they did belong to these houses. And there were no parents home. We got, you know, some kids that answered the door and they got their older brother who I, you know, when you can hear yourself talking and you know you're talking like your mum. And I was like, oh, here's Babs, here she is. So I spoke like my mum and they were kind of smiling and I did the whole, are you serious? Like, you know, your dogs are going to get run over. They could get stolen. They're antagonizing children and they're annoying dogs around the neighborhood. And I did the whole, you need to keep your dogs inside or I'm going to call the police. And it was one of those threats. And I kind of walked away and went, I don't think I am going to call the police. But my question is, so this was a couple of nights ago, yesterday morning when I got into my car, they were on the corner again. I saw them again last night and they were barking at my kids in their buggy. And I thought, you know what? I don't really want to be living like this and worrying about someone else's dogs or worrying if something's going to happen. What is the thing to do if there are dogs kind of loose? Do I need to call the municipality? And what I don't want is someone to take these dogs away potentially or them to be put down or anything like that.
Yeah. Gosh, what a tricky situation. I mean, obviously, first port of call is what you've already done is try to reason with the owners, but that doesn't seem to be working.
No, it was a bit of a blank look in the eye, if I'm being kind.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yes, municipality would be somebody to contact. However, there is that very sort of high risk of the dogs being impounded and then we don't really know what may happen to them.
Exactly, that's what I'm worried about.
The ministry that's responsible is the Ministry of Climate Control and Environment. So they usually have a very sensible approach. So it might be worth contacting somebody there. I doubt that the police would probably be in a position to do very much.
I wouldn't want to waste their time.
I'm being diplomatic here, yeah.
But it was more like using a phrase that these, you know, I don't want to say morons, but yeah, they seem like morons would understand. So you think municipality?
Yeah, and it might be even that worth a case of getting somebody from the municipality to come out and talk to the owners.
All
of
I want exactly
dogs.
Is that as someone in a uniform to come and scare these guys and say you're clearly not responsible pet owners, and this is what could happen if you don't, you know, pull your socks up.
Yeah, absolutely, and this is why unfortunately we're faced with the problem of having all these stray abandon animals because, you know, eventually it does get to the point where they are taken, they are impounded, and then mm-hmm. where do they go? You know, the shelters are full. So yeah, it's a tricky one.
I quite like to keep the husky. He's very cute.
Cute,
but
I bet.
Not the German Shepherd because he's very scary. Questions coming in for you guys as ever. If you've got a question, complaint about your pet. I don't mean a complaint about your pet. They can all be annoying, but you know, if they have a health complaint, get in touch. Tim is asking, my cat scratches himself with his back claws on his neck until he bleeds. He's done this around 3 times in the last few years, around the same time every year and in the same place. He's an indoor cat, never outside. I've given a treatment for fleas just in case and eats a mixture of wet and dry food. What can I do to help the wound heal or help him at home? Looking for any recommendations.
Great, great question, Tim. And we do see a lot of cats with very similar issues. So we don't have a lot of fleas here in this country. It's great that you're using external parasite control for sure. But I doubt that it would be that. It sounds to me most likely to be some kind of an allergy or hypersensitivity problem. And we know that food allergies are possible, but they're by no means the most common types of allergies. So it's probably something environmental. And that can literally be anything. It's
like
a needle in a haystack. If it only happens a few times a year, then I would suggest, you know, either seeing your vet to give some anti-inflammatories for that. You could try with a cream that contains a tiny little bit of cortisone. That may help. But obviously, if it doesn't get much better very quickly, then you'd need to go and see your vet. But I reckon it would be something environmental. And sometimes it can be as simple as food bowls. You know, if you have changed them, sometimes cats can react to plastic or plants in the household or anything like that. So that's what it sounds like.
What about helping that wound to heal if he's probably fussing at it, as animals tend to do?
Yeah, and the problem with that is if he continues to scratch at it because it's continuously itchy, it won't break that cycle. So we need to have something to stop the itch cycle. So that's where a cortisone cream could come in handy. Keeping the wound clean is always an obvious thing, but I would say if it's an obvious wound, it needs to see a vet.
Okay. Staying with cats, Emma's saying, I've heard a few vets say different things on this. It seems half of them say that we do need toothpaste, but it's more the friction. So what do we think? Toothpaste or no toothpaste when it comes to cleaning the teeth of animals?
I think using a toothpaste would be preferable. Typically, most dogs seem to tolerate a flavoured toothpaste quite well. I think we were talking about different flavours a couple of weeks ago. You can get chicken flavour, beef
flavour. Yeah.
Not things that appetizing.
Sound awful to us, but are quite tasty for the dog and can sometimes just be enough to distract them from the action of sticking fingers and toothbrushes in their mouth. Having said that, if the owner can't manage to use a toothpaste, just the simple action of the, you know, the mechanical cleaning of the brush inside the mouth is definitely better than nothing. But yeah, my recommendation would be to use a veterinary specific toothpaste.
Nothing from the supermarket.
No Colgate for dogs.
There could be a market there. Raj is a direct message just on Instagram. If you're on Instagram or Twitter, you can DM us, of course, at DubaiEye1038FM. He sounds worried here. What does it mean if my sick dog is hiding under the furniture? Google tells me he is dying. Is this true? We haven't taken him to the vet as yet. He's a 4-year-old male, a neutered chihuahua. It started with a hard stomach and hunching and pain, but the symptoms have continued. So bloated and now hiding under a table.
Poor little guy.
Yeah.
Firstly, I think this poor Raj is quite...
Stay
quite
away.
Petrified that his dog is dying, but I don't think that's the case, hopefully.
Google does not often help us in these situations.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of doing this myself sometimes. You know, I'm Googling symptoms and I think that, oh my God, tomorrow could be my last day. So I definitely recommend
to hide under a table.
To stay off Google. Secondly, it does sound suspiciously like the dog could be a little bit constipated. I would definitely recommend paying attention to how frequently the dog is going to the toilet and what his motions look like. That can be quite useful information for a vet if he ends up needing to go. But definitely bloating, painful, hard stomach really does sound like constipation. So it may be that he needs to add something to the food or change the food slightly just to help the bowels start to move again.
Here's one from Sonor about a cat. cat, Katrin, probably one for you, saying, female cat still yowling after getting fixed. She's almost 3 years old. We had her fixed 2 years ago, and during the day, she runs around the house yowling like she did when she was in heat. She'll run from window to window, look outside, and yowl. Normally happens early in the morning. What could cause this behaviour change? We recently moved to a new house about 4 months ago, but this behaviour started before that.
Great question, Sonor. So I doubt very much that it's to do with her, you know, being in heat, or it's the same kind of behavior that she was showing when she was in heat. It's much more likely that there are potentially cats, stray cats, or other cats outside. So cats are active mostly at dawn and at dusk. That's their most active periods, which is why potentially it's happening maybe in the mornings. But the kind of running from window to window, looking outside, yowling is very much a territorial behavior. So my strong suspicion would be that there would be a cat or cats, group of cats outside, especially if you say that you've recently moved and that this started about a month ago. So I would look for cats outside. What often really helps is just putting blinds up on the windows, or just masking the physical being able to see other cats outside.
Yeah, my dogs do this with cats outside. So annoying. It's so, because you're trying to relax and watch some TV, yeah, and all you can hear is like, dog. Question here from Ali, saying, my dog, a male Pomeranian who's 3 next April, about 10 pounds, has been licking at his paws rather often and won't let me touch them. He's not aggressive about it. He just runs away whenever I try and see what's wrong with his paws. Everything I look up said it could possibly be a yeast infection from foods high in grain, but the food I'm giving him is zero grain. Any ideas on what it could be or what I'm doing wrong?
Yeah, this is something that we hear commonly from pet owners, this idea that foods that contain grain contain more yeast, and that this could potentially cause a yeast infection in the skin. But really, this is very, very unlikely. My suspicion is that this Pomeranian potentially might have an allergy. Again, more likely to be something in the environment, could be food. What typically happens is that when a dog or cat starts licking, of course, the skin gets nice and moist. You think it's the perfect environment for bacteria. So we get a little bacterial infection, then the yeast come along and start to proliferate. And this is when the skin gets particularly itchy and can be quite sore, causes more licking. And of course, it just becomes a vicious cycle. So I think it really would be worthwhile going to the vet, doing a bit of a skin swab, checking exactly what is growing there, and maybe thinking about eliminating some things in the environment or in the food to try to work out what that allergy could be.
We had something similar with our dog a couple of years ago, but it turned out to be this little tiny orange, like, I don't want to say mites, but almost a bit like mites, little tiny insects. Do you know what I'm talking
in
about?
In this country or in...
Yeah, in this country.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that. I didn't bring them
no,
in.
No. Yeah, they can. I mean, that sounds like harvest mites, which you commonly see in Europe. Not seen a case of those here yet.
Atal is saying, I have a 5-year-old Mexican chihuahua, and she's off again. I have a 5-year-old Mexican chihuahua, picked up a hot spot 6 months ago. Up until that time, he used to run around 1 to 2 kilometers with me at a slow speed around our building. Post the hot spot, he no longer wants to run. Also, he now starts to pant when outside the house, even if we walk at a brisk pace in extremely hot and in cooler temperatures. What could be the issue? And are his running days behind him? It used to help with weight management, and I'm concerned. Thank you, Atal.
Okay, so this is an interesting one. First of all, I guess we need to address the hot spot. So a hot spot can be a circular or slightly larger area of skin infection that can become really quite nastily infected and inflamed, and is usually really uncomfortable and quite itchy for the dogs. So it's possible that the little chihuahua associated the hot spot with pain when he moved. So that's possibly like a learnt thing, that moving while having a hot spot means pain. But presuming that this is resolved, there can be a number of other things going on, and I would definitely highly recommend a veterinary check. So not wanting to exercise and panting a lot can be cardiovascular, so heart problems. And I would for sure go and get that checked out, because chihuahuas can be prone to having heart problems. So I think that's a really, really important thing. If he gets the all clear from the vet, then I think it's probably just a case of kind of reintroducing exercise slowly and associating it with something very positive and not with pain.
Okay, hope that helps at all. Wishing little one all the best. A question here, no name on this one, saying there's a stray in my neighbourhood. He's been around for close to 10 years. The people have been feeding him have moved away this year, and I picked it up after noticing him visibly losing weight. He went from not coming within 20 feet of me to letting me pet him, and last night I basically had to close my door in his face to stop him coming right into my house. I'm actually okay with him becoming an indoor kitty, but not with what he may bring in with him. And there's not yet the level of trust we'll pick him up and take him to the vet. I'm not sure how to proceed. I think a lot of people have had this conundrum, yeah. Do I?
So that's very, very cute. I mean, number one, I think it's lovely that the cat's become so trusting that he actually wants to come indoors. That's lovely. I think there are a couple of things that you could potentially maybe get initially before you take him to the vet, and perhaps pop into your veterinary clinic and get a deworming tablet that you could crush in some wet food, and maybe also a spot-on treatment for external parasites. I think that will kind of protect from the most sort of important things initially. One thing that I would really look for is to see if he has any bald patches anywhere. So sometimes stray cats can get a skin infection called ringworm, which is a fungus. And that is actually transmissible to humans. So that's the one thing that you perhaps do need to look out for. If you are concerned that he has any bald spots, then probably waiting and getting him to the vet before letting him in the house might be a good idea. But yeah, I mean, once he's kind of trusting enough to be taken to the veterinary clinic, it'd be great to take him just for a general health check, maybe a feline AIDS test. But otherwise, he might just be a super lovely companion.
Oh, wishing you all the best. Aid in Dubai is saying, I have a French bulldog. He gets red sore skin in folds around his nose. Does apple vinegar help clear it? So any tips there for bulldogs with sore noses?
This is really common. We often see this in these types of breeds that have these really attractive skin folds, but they can get really moist and warm in between the folds. And of course, this is the perfect environment, like we were talking about before, for bacteria to grow. What the owners can do is to really check those folds all the time and keep them nice and clean. They can probably get something from the vet, actually, a medicated shampoo, actually, that they can either, you know, use for the whole dog to wash the whole dog, or they can just use it in between those folds on a regular basis just to keep the yeast and bacteria under control. I think that's probably the best option for them, rather than using a home remedy that may or may not work and may actually aggravate the area more.
Okay, hope that helps, Aid. Question here from Talim saying, I'm not sure if anyone is familiar with golden paste, but I give it to my lab who has osteosarcoma. I gave her half a teaspoon daily about 4 hours ago, so the show's come at a good time. My mother gave her the entire container, which was around a quarter of a cup. Should I be concerned with this? She seems to be her normal self at her time. This is turmeric, I believe, golden paste.
Yeah, that's what we're presuming. So I'm not familiar with there being any sort of overdose rate of turmeric. I would keep a very close eye on the dog. Not sure how effective the golden paste would be against osteosarcoma, because that's something quite serious. But I'm sure it, you know, will potentially help with as an anti-inflammatory and generally making the dog feel a little bit better. But I'm not aware, are you, Stephanie, of any overdose limits of turmeric?
No, I'm not. I think potentially it could cause some gastrointestinal signs.
Yeah.
If anything, I'm definitely not aware of any, you know, sort of
systemic
severe
signs.
Yeah. Neurological
issues. I'm not either.
Yeah. Okay, so nothing, hopefully a quarter of a cup isn't, you know,
isn't massive.
2 litres, but keep, it's more
yeah,
than what
keep a
what
close
they used to.
Eye, and I think particularly look out for vomiting or diarrhoea.
Okay, hope that helps there, Talim. Question here saying, I've got a 3-month-old pug who got onto my table, knocked over her food bag and ate until she threw up. I'm worried about her and wondering if she'll be okay. If so, what can I do to stop this happening again? Are pugs quite greedy?
It sounds like typical yeah. puggy behaviour.
Yeah, yeah.
So eating until she threw up. Oh, dear.
This is so typical of dogs that just can't control themselves. There's all this food. What are they going to do with it? Of course they'll eat it.
But can that cause harm in that one instinct? Or
I mean, it's not ideal, definitely. I mean, the dog's probably eaten its calorie intake for the next 2 weeks from that one meal. And also, you know, especially with a very young puppy, there's always the risk of overloading the stomach. So I know she did vomit or he did vomit, but it's not an ideal scenario. So definitely preventing that from happening is really the plan. So locking away food bags, I think it would be a good idea.
put them high. We use one of those cereal containers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Double, triple seal them.
Yeah,
put them in a sandwich bag and then in a cereal container and then in the cupboard.
She sounds like a hungry one. We've had a question here. No name on this one saying, but I'm thinking about becoming a veterinary nurse. What do you think? I'm 15, love animals. I'm pretty good at science and maths, although I don't enjoy maths much. What should I study at school and what sorts of things would I be doing in the job day to day?
I think the first thing that this young person should think about is whether they enjoy working with people. I think a lot of people are attracted to the veterinary industry because they love animals, but actually more of the job really is focused around dealing with people and often quite stressed people, very upset people, people that are worried about paying their big veterinary bill or they're stressed about their sick pet. So I think she should enjoy having a people-focused job. It's a lot of customer service. It's not a particularly glamorous job working in a vet clinic. There's a lot of cleaning up messes. So I think, she needs to be very down to earth. If she's a practical person and she enjoys working with animals, enjoys science, then I think, it could be a job that she would enjoy. Trying to get some work experience at a clinic for a week or two would be a good idea in the school holidays to give her a realistic idea of what life is like in a vet clinic.
Especially as an intern level where you start at the bottom and that probably is going to involve rubber gloves and a bit of cleaning. And in terms of what to study, what can be useful for moving into veterinary nursing or to become a vet?
Yeah, so I mean, as Stephanie mentioned, the sciences are definitely up there. The requirements are probably different now than they were a few years ago when I did my veterinary degree, but sciences are always up there. And she will need maths because you do have to calculate drug doses, fluid rates, all that sort of thing, especially once you get a little bit more advanced. So whilst it's not, you don't need to know maths at an extremely high level, but you do need to have some sort of mathematical knowledge.
Denny is saying this morning my dog had a pretty intense reverse sneeze attack and I wasn't too concerned as it happened once or twice before and everything was okay. We're now about 8 hours past that and he's had a few more reverse sneezing and is doing what I would describe as trying to throw up. About one in every five times he'll spit out a clear viscous liquid that almost looks like saliva but has a bit of foam in it. I was just wondering what I could be dealing with here and if I should be contacting my vet ASAP or see if it resolves. Dr. Stephanie, what is reverse sneezing?
Difficult to
explain.
To explain because it's not
like
really.
Would you like to demonstrate?
Well, maybe next week. There's not really a human equivalent, I don't think. And often dogs do this because they have some abnormalities in the back of their throat, so they can have what we call an elongated soft palate or sometimes a collapsing trachea. And often, these dogs can go about their daily life and it's no problem. But if they get irritated by something in the environment, they do this this reverse sneezing. And typically dogs will have an episode of this and then it will stop and they'll recover like nothing ever happened. What can happen if they do it again and again is that they almost have this kind of vomiting reflex. It's a bit like coughing as a human. You cough so much that you almost feel like you want to vomit. I think that, maybe this person could, this owner could wait and to see if it resolves. I'd give it maybe another day. If the dog is still coughing and is sort of coughing up this clear viscous liquid, it might be worth going to the vet because sometimes the symptoms are a little bit similar to kennel cough. And I think that would be something that they would need to treat a bit more seriously.
Okay, hope that helps there, Denny. Polly is asking, my dog has what started out to be a mosquito bite with hair missing and now it's become all scaly and bumpy. The hair hasn't grown back. It's been almost 3 weeks. I've been applying coconut oil daily to try and help. Doesn't seem to be doing anything. Doesn't bother her. She's not itching. 6-month-old mixed breed. What is it? Could it be mange? And should I be worried?
So it doesn't sound like mange to me because that would probably encompass the whole of the body. It could be a number of things. Lumps and bumps are quite difficult to diagnose from afar. Again, the doggy is 6 months old. So my question would be, has it recently had a vaccination? Could it be a vaccine reaction, a little lump associated with a vaccine? They're typically non-painful, non-itchy and resolve over time. But it could be a number of different things. And even in a young dog, you can sometimes get sort of some abnormal cell growths that a vet would need to diagnose. So I'd say keep a really close eye on it. If it doesn't get much better or if it changes further, if it gets bigger, red, warm, painful, any of those things, then you definitely need to get it seen. But a little bit hard to diagnose from afar.
And let's squeeze in one last question from Arjun, saying, after any helpful ideas on travel sickness, we've got a four-month-old female desert dog who drools uncontrollably every single car trip and has vomited multiple times. We're doing short desensitizing drives with lots of treats, but the vet is thinking about putting her on Valium. Any advice would be very helpful, as in the future we're going to be doing quite a lot of car travel.
Okay, so poor little doggy. She's obviously feeling a little bit travel sick, a bit car sick. I think Arjun mentioned in his comment as well that she's on Serenia. The vet's been giving her Serenia, which is great. So that's an anti-sickness medication, which I would also highly recommend. So that's a great first step to kind of break that association between going in the car and feeling sick, because that can often, just the thought of that can put you off wanting to get in the car. I probably would not recommend Valium. Gabapentin is an option, but I think probably the Serenia is the best option to go with. And then after that, it's more sort of behavioral conditioning. So it's counter conditioning, really. So it's associating the travel with positive things. So very short trips to very lovely places. So, you know, a short drive to a park or a beach where then the dog gets a lot of playtime and fuss. And if she's not feeling too sick, perhaps even starting to feed some treats during the journey to associate it with something positive. It's sometimes something that can be self-limiting. So she's only a very young dog. So that's something that she can potentially grow out of. So, yeah.
Sounds like you're doing all the right things, Arjun. Thank you so much, Dr. Katrin and Dr. Stephanie. Always a really popular show, and love your expertise.